Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because we're superstitious is all get out. Right?
I think that has something to do with it.
We just keep coming to Rally House, 97th and Quivira. Why not?
Why not?
We've been hanging out here before the games. We're going to hang out here after the game as well. And you can come get your locker room gear and just start making a week of it at Rally House.
Well, absolutely you can, and this is where we were for the last couple of weeks before the game. And quite honestly, just to be honest with everybody, this is this is really the only opportunity we get, because we got a 5 a.m. flight Sunday morning to get the hell out of here and go to Miami to watch the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl. How about that, Josh? Can you believe that we're actually sitting here? Travis Kelce talking about it's been a long 7 years. Hey, brother, it's been a long 50 years. Uh-huh. Not a long 7 years. It's been a long 50 years for Kansas City to get back to their third Super Bowl today. It was remarkable. I was out at the game last night, obviously, and on the field after the game to experience. For 50 years, this city has wanted to get back to the Super Bowl. For 50 years, this city has lived and died with some good football teams, some really bad football teams. They've lived and died with some great moments and some turmoil throughout those 50 years. And they would get so close. They would get just right up to the edge of it, and then boom, they would have their hearts ripped out, whether it was losing to the Buffalo Bills and Joe Montana going down with a head injury and not being able to participate, or losing on a no-punt game, or getting blown out by the Baltimore Ravens, or blowing a 38-10 lead, or losing last year on the overtime to the New England Patriots, or going up to New England and losing a couple of years prior to that. It's always been so close for this franchise, losing to Lynn Elliott and losing to John Elway and losing to Harbaugh and all of the things that had happened over the years. Well, now all of that is in the past. Now all of that doesn't matter anymore, because the curse is over and this team is headed to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. And it really, really is remarkable. It really is exciting, and it really is the first time all of us collectively are going to get an opportunity to experience the Super Bowl. None of us have really experienced it before. I talked to a lot of people yesterday, man, and a lot of people were not alive the last time the Kansas City Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, and now they have the opportunity to experience that, live that, enjoy that, and for the next 2 weeks, I can imagine the productivity around Kansas City is going to be at a zero. So if you are a boss, if you are an employer, you know what? It's going to be time just to look the other way, because people have Super Bowl on their mind, they're Miami dreaming, they're thinking about going down to Miami and watching this team in the Super Bowl, watching this team take on whoever it is from the NFC that won last night, because I didn't watch 2 seconds of that game because I was in the locker room celebrating the Super Bowl championship with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, selfishly, I was watching yesterday and I was glad this was at home.
Yeah, I was too.
I mean, not that it wouldn't have meant the same, advancing the Super Bowl either way, but just getting that extra sweet, being able to do it in front of the fans at Arrowhead. And the ticker tape coming down in your Chiefs colors, and it's on your home field. The place is roaring, the whole thing. I felt like that was the way to go about it.
Yep.
And just everything that went into it. I mean, you got the fan perspective. You got the Hunt family able to finally get that trophy named for Lamar Hunt.
Yeah.
You have Andy Reid getting another trip to try to stamp his Hall of Fame legacy. And then you have the ascension of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you got 2 years, and you got a 50 touchdown MVP season, and you got an AFC championship, and heading to the Super Bowl in his second year. If there wasn't a baton passed before yesterday, well, it got handed over yesterday, and I thought everything that went into that was the perfect scenario. And again, not to say that if they beaten Baltimore at Baltimore, it wouldn't have felt great. But I thought for everybody involved, it was pretty cool that this one happened at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always look back at the Royals Championship in 2015 and I say, man, winning Game 5 in New York was awesome, but I wish it was in Kansas City. Like that was the biggest regret that you could have.
You're not turning back in the trophy.
Oh, God, no.
But you know what I mean?
You just go for the fans.
There could have been one thing that made it better, and it would have been doing it at Kauffman Stadium.
Right. It would have been a lot better to do it at Kauffman Stadium. And I was having this conversation with my wife over the weekend. She goes, how much would you pay for a Super Bowl ticket? I said, I wouldn't pay a dime for a Super Bowl ticket. She goes, what do you mean you wouldn't pay a dime for the Super Bowl ticket? I said, being at Arrowhead for the AFC Championship game to me is more special than being in Miami for the Super Bowl, because at that Super Bowl, it's not 78,000 Chiefs fans. It's not people from Kansas City. It's not people who have lived and died and suffered, you know, the heartbreak. It's not people who have lived through the awfulness. It's not any of that. Being in Arrowhead Stadium yesterday and that AFC Championship game and watching the Chiefs win the Lamar Hunt Trophy in Kansas City, in the stadium that Lamar built with the team that he developed and the sport that he helped become the greatest thing in the world, that means a lot, man. And doing it in front of your home fans is really, really something special. That trophy ceremony last night would not have been the same had it happened in Baltimore. It just wouldn't have been. And it wouldn't have been, you know, nearly as moving and emotional for everybody had that been on the road, because you had 78,000 people who were not leaving their seats last night. I mean, when that trophy presentation was going on, not one person had left the stadium. Everybody was there to see that trophy, to be part of that celebration, to cheer, to yell, to scream, to have a great time. And winning at home, there's just something really, truly special about doing it in front of your home crowd, and everybody in Kansas City got to do it last night. And for me, you know, being down there last night and seeing so many faces of so many people that have worked for the organization for so many years, from security guards to police officers to everybody in between, just to see everybody kind of celebrating and getting emotional, that's what it's all about. And that's what made yesterday special. They made it special that they were able to do it in Kansas City in front of their home crowd at Arrowhead Stadium. And there's nothing better in sports than winning a championship, winning a trophy, and celebrating with your own fans. And Kansas City got to do that last night, and I'm sure Kansas City is going to do that throughout the day today. It is a holiday as well, so a lot of people have off of work. Last night was kind of like a Saturday night for a lot, I can imagine, as people enjoyed themselves, you know, after the game, during the game, before the game. And that celebration is going to continue until, you know, the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And so everybody got an opportunity to experience that last night, and I thought that was truly, Josh, special that we all got to take part and be a part of being there, being in that stadium, or being in Kansas City when the Chiefs finally won their AFC championship and finally claimed that Lamar Hunt trophy.
Because it is different in football, right? I mean, that's a different aspect of football. The Super Bowl game itself isn't about the fans, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it's not.
Okay?
No, it's not.
World Series, obviously, you're at a home venue,
right?
And it's a different feel. So this is the championship game is the closest you can get to replicating that for the fans,
right? It is.
And so I was glad that all those dominoes fell into place for the Chiefs to be able to do it at home yesterday. Just, it felt perfect.
And that's the thing, you know, where the NFL in the Final Four, you win these national championships and you do them in cities where like neither team is from. I mean, you know, you win in New Orleans or you win in Miami or you win someplace like that. And I think for a lot of fans, that AFC championship game is that one game that they wanted to go to. You know, you can kind of hang out at home, watch the Super Bowl at home, enjoy the Super Bowl at home with your friends and your family and everything like that. But last night was the event that you wanted to go to because it was a home game and you were able to tailgate and do your normal routine and have that fun and truly be part of winning that championship. Yesterday was very, very special for Kansas City, and it's something that I think everybody who was there will always remember. They will never forget, and it will always be the kind of top of their mind when it comes to sports. Yesterday was pretty awesome, man, to be inside Arrowhead Stadium.
Mahomes' ascension. I've been saying this for a while, Bob, that to me his elevation this year became about the feet.
Yeah.
Not sure his signature highlight moment now wasn't eclipsed yesterday with a run, of
yeah,
all things.
The run was amazing. That 27-yard touchdown run was something that you don't normally see and something that really shouldn't have happened. And I think when you go back and you look at that, you probably think to yourself, all right, here's this guy running, and if it's a regular season game, he probably goes out of bounds. He doesn't cut that thing back up and try to take it, you know, to the end zone like he did. But that is going to be now his signature play. And we talked a lot about it last week, Josh, and I'll pat ourselves on the back for this one. We talked a lot about it last week. week where when you look at what Patrick Mahomes does, the biggest plays that he makes and the most back-breaking plays that he makes are with his legs. And he did a lot of that yesterday, not just getting outside the pocket and running like he did on that 27-yard touchdown pass, but there were a lot of times where he kept plays alive and was able to utilize his legs to allow his receivers to get open down the field. There were a couple of times where he could have kind of just dumped it off in the flat to the running back, whether it be Damian Williams or whether it be Darwin Thompson. He could have just dumped it off into the flat, but did not do that. He used his legs, bought more time, and found receivers open down the field to make a play, to get bigger chunks of yards, to really throw that dagger into the heart of the Tennessee Titans. I still believe, as much as we sit here and marvel about Patrick Mahomes' arm, his legs are the thing that ultimately takes him to that next level, because it gives him the ability to utilize that arm in a way that a lot of other quarterbacks can't. And then rolling out of the pocket and picking up 12 yards on 3rd and 8, rolling out of the pocket and picking up 27 yards and a touchdown with 10 seconds to go before halftime. At that point in time, you just knew it was going to be over. You just knew and felt that this game was going to be over for the Kansas City Chiefs, because people don't make runs like that. Normal human beings don't have moments like that where they roll out, look around, run down the sidelines and go, nah, I'm not going to step out here. Cut back inside, you know, avoid fumbling the football and cross the plane of the goal line like Patrick Mahomes did. That is not a normal human play to watch. That is not a normal human play to see happen in an NFL game. That is a Patrick Mahomes type play. That is a Pat play. When Andy says he draws up Pat plays, that was a Pat play that nobody could draw up, because that was all improvisation. He got outside the pocket, found a way to score, put the Chiefs ahead, and that was the nail that sealed that game yesterday for Kansas City.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, 913-576-7610. If you remember who had the fantasy pick to pop, we do it Fridays at 6:15. Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue, and you got to hear Fesco's convo with Frank Clark next.
Where's the trophy? Man.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
As Long, they try to make a diving and tipped, and Mahomes, who tiptoes inside the 10, still not down. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Wow.
Best quarterback in the National Football League right here, baby, and he shows it every time. Humble as can be, baby. I love you.
Big pass. Big old pass.
Indeed, big old Pat.
There it is, big old Pat, baby.
Going down the touchdown line.
Big Pat.
That's a signature play, man. I know he throws the football over the field, and we'll probably have some more tossing varieties, but that run was fantastic.
Well, just what you think, Josh, like what more can this guy do? What can he do for an encore? He has a 27-yard touchdown run that's out of, you know, a video game, and officially breaking the Madden curse yesterday. I mean, I think we finally saw the Madden curse broken yesterday by Patrick Mahomes, leading his team to a Super Bowl, having a run like that, having, I think he had 18 touchdowns in yesterday's game all by himself. Like, he was just a remarkable, remarkable football player yesterday, and it was really a big reason why this team won. And another big reason why this football team won has to do with defense, too, man. The defense stepped up yesterday, and I think erased all the doubts. I mean, erased all the doubts that anybody would have left about this team, whether or not they could stop the run, whether or not they could get out there and stop a big-time running back in Derrick Henry. They shut his ass down. And this stadium yesterday, I was telling Cody and Serta as we were sitting at the game yesterday, it was really fun to watch the stadium yesterday on the first play of the game that Derrick Henry had. And they handed it off to Derrick Henry, and the crowd just erupted when he gained like 3 yards or something.
right?
Like,
it's it was not just, eight. Yay.
Right? No, it was just an eruption out of the crowd. And I said to Cody, I said, look, this crowd was going to go nuts on the first play that Derrick Henry carried the football, because so badly did they want to stop him and make sure that everybody knew that Derrick Henry was going to be a guy that was not going to do damage out there on the field today. And the crowd was so juiced. The defense was so juiced yesterday. And I thought it was more important of a game for the defense yesterday to come up big than the offense. We knew the offense could come up big and do their thing. But for the defense to come out yesterday and do what they did, and essentially, in my opinion, make Derrick Henry a non-factor yesterday. I mean, that's ultimately ultimately what happened in that football game. They made Derrick Henry a non-factor in that game yesterday, and it was something that they were committed to, and they were committed to it, and they were committed to it, and they were committed to it, and they were not going to allow Derrick Henry to be the difference maker in that game yesterday. And he wasn't. They tried to make Ryan Tannehill beat him, and Ryan Tannehill could not beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue.
The baddest motherfuckers on the planet are.
Smokehouse Barbecue, chance to win a prize pack courtesy of Smokehouse Barbecue, including assorted sauces and spices. All you have to do is remember, Fridays at 6:15, we make our fantasy selections for the weekend. Monday at 6:15, you tell us who are the best of the fantasy picks, and you can win yourself that Smokehouse Barbecue gift pack. Ryan, refresh me. Who's our contestant?
That would be Jeff in Kansas City.
All right, Jeff in KC, do you remember who had the fantasy pick to pop?
Yes, I do. I told the guy that answered the phone wrong name, but it was Klingler. Takes Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, that is correct. None of us got who actually was the leader in receiving yards for the Chiefs, but I had the best of what's left as well, and I'll take two touchdowns. That's cool.
Sure.
So, indeed, that is correct, and you get yourself $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue, wow, assorted sauces and spices. None of us took Sammy Watkins, who then had the day, right? 7 catches for $114 in that 60-yard touchdown from Patrick Mahomes. But Watkins, Hill, Damian Williams was good in stretches. They were seriously trying to take Travis Kelce out of the mix, right?
Yeah.
So that opens up other avenues. We did not get the Mecole Hardman breakaway that we thought we might get. But all in all, pretty good receiving day for everybody involved. Got everybody involved once again. And all you look at them, there's four double-digit yards per catch guys as well. So they were getting the ball down the field.
Yeah, they really were. And Sammy Watkins has got a knack for showing up in these big games, I feel like. Like last year against the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game, he was very big. Damian Williams plays big in big situations, too. I thought he was really good yesterday, both running the football and catching it out of the backfield. I really like what I see out of him, and that's why I've been a big fan of him since about a year ago. I really love Damian Williams. I love the way that he goes out there and the way that he plays the game. I think it's outstanding, and I think yesterday we saw why the Kansas City Chiefs went out there and decided to pay Sammy Watkins all that money. He had a big game yesterday. I mean, you know, you can say what you want in the regular season. You can say what you want in the preseason and whatnot. None of that matters. It matters how you show up in the playoffs. And Sammy Watkins, in 4 playoff games, 2 of them, he's been really, 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 really good and special for the Kansas City Chiefs. And as long as he continues to play that big in big games, hey, man, his money's worth it, because it's all about what you do in January, and now, for the first time in 50 years, it's all about what you do in February.
Also worth it, Frank Clark, his conversation on the field with Fesco after the game last night.
How about that today, man? What's going through your mind right now?
Nah, I'm a champion. That's all that matters. You know, I said it a few days ago that, you know, I wasn't going to let that happen. We put a mindset in our whole defense that we weren't going to let them run the ball on us. We knew the only way that's going to win the game, that's run the ball. The quarterback not good enough to win the game passing, and we exposed all that. Anytime you run for 80 yards, you call yourself the leading running back. They call themselves, they hype Henry up and do all this for him, man. Say what they're going to do to us. Say we the 26th ranked defense in the league. And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest on the planet are.
You shut him down today. How did you guys do that?
Because we the baddest motherfucker on the planet.
Now you got one more in you to win it for Andy. How important is it to win for Andy?
It's more important to win that for our own Clark Hunt Trophy. We're going to win it for, I said more important. Sorry, scratch that.
I got what you
mean, man. It's more important just for us as a team, not just for Andy as a coach. No disrespect, but for the team. All that matters is the team, and that's all we've been thriving on all season is the team. Team first, everything goes second.
And you were hurt, man, like the beginning of the year, week 11, you finally get healthy and get out here. How much of it is like redemption for you to go, I knew I could go out there and play like that?
Because I know I am. I know what I'm capable of doing. At the end of the day, I told him. After week 6, I told him what was going on with my body. My body was breaking down. I didn't know what was going on, you know. You just pray everything goes right. You know, I go out and get checked by doctors. My doctors tell me I shouldn't even play for the rest of the season. They tell me I need to get surgery, stop playing before I hurt something, you know, down the road for a longer term. At the end of the day, man, I trusted my doctors here at the Chiefs. I trusted everything they was telling me. Like I said, Rick Burkhalter, the greatest staff on the planet. They told me I was able to do it. I trusted them. Man, they put me on a great plan, and I come out here and I finish probably, some would say one of the best second halves of the season you can ever play in 10 games.
I asked Ty the same thing. I'll ask you again. How good's that quarterback, man?
You said Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
MVP Pat? You said the illest motherfucker walking. Pat Mahomes? Come on, man. Pat, we trust. Like I said from day one, when Pat Mahomes your quarterback, You don't have no worries, no fears, no doubt. As a defense, all you got to do is step up on your own and win the game. Pat Mahomes, man, our quarterback, what is quarterback rating? What was it, 365 yards rushing, 300 yards passing? That's 365 yards, 130 quarterback rating, no interceptions, I think 3 or 4 touchdowns. Come on, man. I'd drop every staff of Pat Mahomes if I have to. Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback in the world, don't ask.
There you go. Even if even the stats were not, I don't know. What do you have, like a 300 quarterback rating? 1,000 yards, 18 touchdowns in that game? He was awesome. Frank Clark bringing it, man.
I also think, you know, Journey playing in the background, yes, no, yeah, no, adds to it,
yeah,
right?
It you wasn't know? Like you added that later.
It was great. Like it's no Hey Lorenzo or anything like that, you know, for the World Series, but that those on-field interviews are the best, Josh, because you're getting guys in the moment. They're in their pads. They're still celebrating. They're processing everything that's going on, and I figured Frank Clark would have a lot to say. But how about that? Doctors telling him not to play, you know? Doctors telling him to shut it down and not play for the rest of the season, man. I don't know where this defense would be right now without Frank Clark, without Tyrann Mathieu, without those two guys making a difference on the defensive side of the football. I don't know where this football team would be right now, and they really did help this organization take it to the next level and go out there and do things that were absolutely 100% amazing, and that was to shut down not only Derrick Henry yesterday, but to shut down everybody else that came in their way for the last 7 weeks of this NFL season. They went from a defense that couldn't to a defense that's leading this team to the Super Bowl.
We're at Rally House 97th and Quivira. Stores opening up at 7.
That's right.
Okay? And you want to get yourself in line to get your gear, right? The AFC champions wear that a lot of the locker room stuff that you saw last night, you're going to get a chance to get that today. And as the week progresses, they're going to have about 150 different styles of AFC Championship Super Bowl wear here at Rally House. It's a place to get all of your gear. So come on down. We're here at 97th and Quivira until 10 today. But the store is going to be jam-packed.
Yeah, and so it does behoove you to come down here early, like my man Chris, like Jayhawk for Life, like some of the other guys that rolled in here early to grab a number, because once you get that number, you can come back at any time, and that will be your place in line, so you won't have to wait in all the big lines and whatnot to get in. And throughout the day, they're going to be getting more and more merchandise in. From what I'm told, they sold 10,000 T-shirts last night here. So they went through a lot of T-shirts last night, so they're getting more stuff in this morning. The earlier you get here, the better your number will be, the less time you will have to wait in line. So come in, grab that number, go grab a cup of coffee for yourself, bring one back for us, and then when the store opens at 7 o'clock, you're going to be able to come in and get everything that you want, including those locker room T-shirts that everybody was wearing on the field yesterday. That's kind of going to be that first merchandise that rolls off the trucks as they arrive all morning long here at Rally House.
693-06. We will shout it out coming up. And when was it over? Next.
Pat Mahomes, the greatest quarterback in the world. Don't add.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Well, I feel like nobody in the NFL can guard any of us. I mean, and that's no disrespect to nobody. That's just the confidence that I got.
Another jet sweep. It's Tyreek Hill, and he's in for the Kansas City touchdown.
I feel like no DB unit, no secondary unit, no linebacker, or any defense can guard any of us. So man-to-man is just easy for us to beat. And if you just allow us to just run through zones, it's even easier.
Down the middle. Caught. Hill. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Wow. How great is that?
Tyreek Hill's even less wrong today, right?
He really is. Yep, absolutely.
That was his quotes, of course, the last week. That was the bulletin board material, but I think looking at how yesterday went down, they were pretty difficult to cover.
No doubt about it, man. You had so many different receivers involved, so many different receivers making plays, from Sammy Watkins, as we talked about, to Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. For a little bit, I think they did a pretty good job of taking him out, but Damian Williams out of the backfield was big. Robinson even had a big play. I thought we'd get more out of Mecole Hardman yesterday. One catch, 8 yards. I swung and missed on that one, but it was still a pretty big day receiving-wise for the Kansas City Chiefs, and showed you their arsenal of weapons yesterday that does make it so hard to defend. I thought yesterday was one of those really good offensive days where everybody got involved, and it didn't matter who you took out of the game, who you tried to cover, who you tried to stay with, who you tried to eliminate, somebody stepped up their game and was able to go out there and beat you yesterday, whether it was Mahomes with his legs, whether it was Sammy Watkins on the big 60-yard touchdown pass, whether it was Tyreek Hill on the little flip for the touchdown, and then the second touchdown pass that Tyreek Hill caught. I mean, that ball that was thrown by Patrick Mahomes may have been the sweetest ball I've ever seen thrown, man. That thing was a dart and a laser right to where it needed to be. I don't know if anybody in the NFL could throw a more perfect football than what Patrick Mahomes did to Tyreek Hill in the end zone, and he had that defensive back not even turned around to see where that ball was coming from. Like, that dude did not even have time to look over his shoulder to see where that football was, and that was just a strike thrown by Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. That was an unbelievable pass, and you could feel at that point in time that this football team was moving in the right direction and that they were going to find a way to win that game. When you throw passes like that, I'm telling you what, man, it is something that nobody else can do in the NFL, and it was just really special to watch him play yesterday.
69306 on the text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. But when was it over? I saw it actually written in your little notebook.
Yeah.
It was over at this play.
Second and 10 as that Tennessee defense drops back. As Long who tried to make a diving and tipped it. Mahomes who tiptoes inside the 10. Still Montero. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And that's when it was over for me, when Patrick Mahomes ran in from 27 yards out with 10 seconds to go right before halftime. That was kind of the nail in the coffin for me. You could just kind of sense the whole crowd, all the kind of emotion shift to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was the moment in time where that football game truly ended for me. When you have a run like that, when you have a moment like that, there's no stopping you. And Patrick Mahomes pulled out of his hat an amazing run that probably in the regular season he steps out of bounds, no doubt about it. But in the AFC Championship game with the Super Bowl on the line, he does that yesterday and makes everybody go, wow. And that call by Jim Nance I thought was really, really good too, Josh. Even Jim Nance was like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw out there in that game yesterday by Patrick Mahomes. He was just a marvel to watch.
I thought Nance and Romo were really good yesterday, too.
Were they?
They've annoyed me at times, but I thought they were really good yesterday. I thought Romo was very much more tolerable than I've had in the past, but I thought Nance in the big moments is really, really good.
He is, yeah.
I mean, really, really good. So having those kind of signature calls by him yesterday was pretty cool as well. 69306 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Let's go ahead and shout it out. Anything you would like to discuss, 69306.
Oh, this is my turn. That's right.
That's right.
417 would like to know, is it too early to start calling for 16-0 next year?
Yeah. I mean, let's
wait.
Hey,
what?
We've got a Super Bowl to play, man. I'm not sitting here talking about next year. We got for the first time in 50 years, we're going to the Super Bowl, and that guy wants to talk about next year. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Hey, you win in Miami, you go 0-16 the year.
Yeah, who the hell cares what you do next year? Yeah, you come out and lay an egg and go 8-8. It doesn't matter.
For what
man.
It's worth, I assure you, Fesco will pick them to go 16-0.
Yes, yeah.
So, well, I mean, you got to see what kind of moves they make in the offseason.
No, you're still picking them 16-0. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's see here. 309. If you take a blank CD, can you blast it at full volume in a noisy room and make it quiet?
Yes, absolutely. People will respond to that.
913, also like to know, when did you first cry? For them, it was the long Watkins touchdown. You went to the bathroom and welled up. I never cried. I didn't cry yesterday.
No, I didn't either. I was, you know, I did get a brief moment of getting choked up when I saw Colquitt on the field, and we'll hear my conversation with him, just because looking at him knowing 14 years, I mean, he's the last member of this organization, you know, player-wise, that actually knew Lamar Hunt. And he told me an amazing Lamar Hunt story that I had never heard before, and we'll hear that coming up at 7:45 this morning. Dustin Colquitt, the last remaining member of the team that actually knew Lamar Hunt. When I heard the story about Lamar Hunt, I just really, really chuckled, and you guys will love it coming up at 7:45.
913 says his four kids saw him cry for the first time yesterday.
A lot of people were crying, you know, and that's what sports is all about, man. When you have big moments like this, especially moments that we haven't been able to experience in our lifetimes, it's fine to cry. And if you did yesterday and you cried, so what? Be proud of that.
773, how should we be planning to attend the parade?
Well, we gave away opportunities for you to attend the parade at the Westin. I think those opportunities have come and gone when it comes to joining us on the rooftop of the Westin. But I think you should plan on attending the parade much like you planned on attending the parade with the Royals. Get down there early. From what I understand, and this is some preliminary information, they expect the parade route to be much longer than it was for the Kansas City Royals. I believe it is going to start further north than Sprint Center and work its way down in order to accommodate all the people that were there. Obviously, when the Royals parade happened, everybody was kind of overrun by that. But from what I understand, they're going to move the parade starting further north, like around 6th Street, if I'm not mistaken, and move it all the way down to Union Station to allow everybody to kind of spread out more and kind of get a deep breath.
And that'll be...
I'm guessing, from what I understand, I'm thinking it's going to be the Wednesday after, but I'm not sure. That's some of the rumors that are circulating around.
913 wanting to know what the keys to beating the 49ers are. Let's just settle down.
We got a week for that.
We got two weeks for that.
Yeah.
913.
It's just like everything, stopping the run and then dealing with their defensive
line. Your mind is, though, Texter. On to San Francisco.
I do like that. Yeah.
I can appreciate it.
Offense, defense, special teams. We got to worry about those three phases of the game. If we handle business there, good Lord willing, we'll come out on top.
Keys to victory. 913, what feels better, new socks or new shoes?
Ooh.
I think the socks.
Because
shoes, sometimes you got to break them in. Socks, they just feel great right away.
Brand new pair of socks on the old feet. That's good.
Yeah.
People getting upset about Joe Buck calling yet another KC San Francisco.
you know what? Then don't watch.
Bumgardner will be banging the drum.
Yeah.
Oh, are they bringing the drum?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
785, I wonder what Tom Brady was doing last night. Probably sitting in his mansion with his gorgeous wife.
Yeah, no, he moved now, so I would say he's probably unpacking plates.
Unpacking plates last night.
Well, unpacking the plates, putting them in the dishwasher to wash them because you got the newsprint on them, because you packed the newspaper. So that's what I think he was doing yesterday.
Sure, it was
just a
real, real rough day for Tom Brady yesterday.
Very rough day. You know what, Tom Brady probably didn't even watch football yesterday, okay? You know what Tom Brady did yesterday? He was probably doing whatever the hell Tom Brady wanted to do yesterday.
He did his interview, his weekly interview, though, with the national people.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, said he was open to playing for another team.
Oh, okay,
so
good. Yeah,
that's. But I'm sure he did that interview like on Wednesday. So
probably
yesterday, probably nothing.
I don't believe anything I hear anymore from anybody after I heard Dan Orlovsky was drawing coaching consideration from the NFL.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you heard me right. 913.
The man who ran out of the back of the end zone.
That's correct.
He's on TV now. He's smarter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's correct. Shout out to me for requesting the week after the Super Bowl off a year in advance so I would for sure be given that time off.
That is brilliant, man. I love your thinking. I'm going to give you a round of applause on that one. That's really, really good. Smart thinking by you. Great planning. Way to go, my man.
816, shout out to Vrabel's genitals. That's right. He gets to keep them.
Does that carry over?
Well, I mean, it didn't say – did he say I would – do it this year?
I don't know. That's
anytime.
What I'm asking. Does it carry over?
That is true. He just said, what would you do for a Super Bowl?
This may be an ongoing thing for
would
him.
Would you do that for a Super Bowl?
Yes.
913 asking if you watched the Aaron Hernandez story on Netflix.
You know, I watched the first episode in depth, and then I watched the next two, and everything was going on, one of those type of deals. But I thought the first episode was really eye-opening, really, really, really eye-opening, and you start to understand the demons that guy was dealing with and everything that was going on with his life. Man, he lived a messed up life from the way that he was treated, the way that he felt he needed to be treated, to the way that he needed to act. He had some severe demons inside his body.
785, I lost my job earlier this month, but I keep showing up until the end of the month. That seems misguided.
Yeah, why?
Well, if they're paying you,
I mean,
that's cool.
Are they paying
if
you?
If they're not, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I hope you find a new job soon.
816, watching the game with my two sons, 14 and 10, was a moment I will never forget.
That's what it's all about,
man. Cool.
That's why I kept stressing it during the Royals run, and I'll stress it during the Chiefs run. It's about the memories that you are going to create with your family and with your friends about this stuff, because as we know, it doesn't happen every year in Kansas City. It doesn't happen with the drop of the hat like it did up in Old England for all of those years. Maybe it will, but maybe it won't. You don't know, and that's why you have to enjoy every single one of these moments as they happen and act like it's going to be the only time that it happens, because there's no guarantees that it ever happens again.
I had three kids draped all over me. It was kind of annoying.
That's your fault.
I could have taken it or left. It was fine.
That it?
I feel like that's as good a spot as I need to wrap it up.
Fesco got the Honey Badger on the field after the game. Hear from him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Obviously, this is a very special day for our family and the entire organization. We were thrilled to host the AFC Championship game last year, and as Andy said, we came up 4 inches short. The job that the franchise did, the team did, the coaches did, in terms of getting back to this game and getting to host at Arrowhead, I thought was tremendous. And obviously, we're very, very emotional, very, very excited to win the trophy that has my dad's name on it and have an opportunity to head to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
And it's exactly 800 games, regular season and postseason, since Hank Stram manned the sideline. All those Chief legends beat Minnesota down in old Tulane Stadium in Super Bowl 4. And now this franchise, this city, they're going back to the big game. And soon they're going to receive the Lamar Hunt Trophy, named for the franchise's founding father.
Where's the trophy? Man.
You know where that trophy was? Josh Clark had it in the back of the room.
He shouldn't let that thing go.
He was not letting go of that trophy yesterday. It was really awesome to be out there. I didn't hear any of the game because I was at the game, on the field after the game, talking with the guys and whatnot. And hearing Jim Nantz there, I got goosebumps, man. The hair on my back is standing up. That was really good.
Gross.
By Jim Nantz. And well, yeah, a little bit, Ryan. But one of the coolest things for me yesterday.
Theater of the mind, hopefully.
Yes.
I don't know.
One of the coolest things for me, you'll get to see in Miami when I'm sunbathing. One of the coolest things for me was seeing all the former Chiefs players that were there at the game. You know, sharing hugs with Danon Hughes and Bill Moss and Mark Collins and, you know, Bobby Bell being on stage to present that trophy and talking on Friday like we did to Willie Lanier and seeing all of these former guys. Like, I was getting texts from guys I hadn't talked to in a while yesterday. Andy Studebaker saying, I want to come in and talk about this. Mark McMillan reaching out going, I got to talk about the Chiefs.
Cool, they all
Sean
feel part
Smith,
of it.
You know, was here for a couple of years, and he's on Twitter sending out videos and saying, I want to talk about it. Like, this was not just
put a shirt
win.
On, Sean Smith.
Yeah, next time put a shirt on, right? Yeah, this was not just a win for those 53 players in that current organization right now. That was a win for everybody. That was a win for Kansas City. That was a win for everybody that had come before and laid the groundwork for these last 50 years. And as Nan said, 800 games have taken place since we heard, you know, Hank Stram on the sidelines say, matriculate the ball down the field. Since Len Dawson led that team as the quarterback to the Super Bowl, since that defense led the way and made plays to get that team into the Super Bowl in Super Bowl IV. 800 games later, the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting there back in that Super Bowl. And I thought the best moment for me yesterday was Clark Hunt after the game standing at the podium talking about going to Super Bowls. And he goes, the better you are as a team, the harder it is to go to a Super Bowl when your team isn't in it. And he said, last year, we enjoyed ourselves, but we were bitter. We were just not happy to be at the Super Bowl because we felt like it should be us. And he said that his mom, Norma, leaned over to him at one point last year and said, sure, it'd be nice to play in one of these sometime soon. And so here we are a year later. Norma gets her dream. Clark gets his dream. They get to bring that trophy to Kansas City that bears her late husband's name, his father's name, and really one of the most influential sports figures, not just in Kansas City, but in the world. And I think sometimes we take Lamar Hunt for granted and don't realize what he meant to sports in the world, not just what he meant to bringing his franchise here to Kansas City and how influential he truly was. Like, it was really cool to see the family yesterday celebrate and enjoy that moment because it's something that they've been looking forward to, just like us, for the last 800 games.
Yeah, and I think, again, doing that at home, like,
yes,
they would have been there anyway,
sure,
right? They would have been in Baltimore. They could have been handed the trophy in Baltimore, but it felt like that we were, like, in on a little family moment, too.
Sure.
By having it you know, in Kansas City in front of the fans at Arrowhead. But a really cool moment. It felt like, man, well overdue, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but for them to actually hand the trophy to the family, I thought was awesome.
And to be able to have, you know, 78,000 of their closest friends around to see them get that trophy meant a lot. And to do it in a stadium that Lamar Hunt had the vision to build. I mean, when they built those stadiums, everybody was building cookie-cutter stadiums. They were building those stadiums that supported baseball and football. Nobody had the vision like Lamar Hunt did and Kansas City did and Ewing Kauffman did to build two separate stadiums for their franchises. And to see it happen in that stadium that Lamar loves so much, in a city that he loves so much, with his family getting that trophy, it really took it to the next level to be able to do that here in town.
More power to him to go to all the Super Bowls. I don't think I would.
Oh, you got to. You have no choice as an owner.
I think I would,
John,
go and I'd do my appropriate meetings and then
get out of there.
Get out of there.
Yeah, but
I don't
a lot
know
of the
that
times
could,
they're entertaining guests and clients.
I don't know that I could
like
sit
that,
there and
so.
Stomach some of that. I completely understand how last year's would have
yeah,
been.
Yeah, last year's would have sucked.
One
you
of the
go 2-14 or something like that. You go.
Yeah,
to
it's like, hey, this party. We had a terrible year.
We knew we weren't going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
But to lose in overtime like the Chiefs did last year and to have the performance that they did last year in the AFC Championship game and not get to that Super Bowl, yeah, that had to be one that just ties your gut in knots and pulls it in 10 different directions and really lays the seed and the groundwork for everybody to know that, hey, this is going to be where we are next year. And sometimes, Josh, having that defeat, much like the Royals did in 2014, where after that game they immediately said, we're winning this thing next year, sometimes having that taste of defeat of being so close is just what you need to get you over the hump and to get you a championship.
One of the linchpins getting this thing done was Tyrann Mathieu, and Fesco got a chance to catch up with Honey Badger on the field after the win.
All right, how's this feel? What's going through your mind right now?
Man, I'm just so grateful, for the people of Kansas City, man. It's been 50 years, and, you know, I think to bring that Lamar Hunt trophy back home, that was our job today, and I'm proud of our guys for really coming through.
What was it like from the moment you woke up this morning to standing here right now on the field after this?
Yeah, so look, I was trying to be calm and collected this morning, but I woke up, I was ready to go, man, and we probably didn't start off the game the best way. But we've been through a lot of adversity this year as a team, and so we know how to rally around each other. And I thought we did that today, and I thought ultimately we gave these fans what they wanted, and that was a trip to Miami.
You guys like that starting slow bull crap, huh?
Yeah, we can't do that in the Super Bowl, though.
It's obviously the greatest day of your professional career, but how does it feel to do it for Andy?
Man, it's everything. You think about Coach Reed and really all the people he's impacting positively. You know, you talk about all the head coaches that, you know, he's put in those positions, and, you know, all the Hall of Fame players that came under him. I think this win is definitely for him and Lamar Hunt, no doubt.
Is it more important to win it for Andy or for you guys now down in Miami?
I think it's more important to keep coach first, man. He's a hell of a ball coach, and, you know, you don't get a lot of opportunities to go to the Super Bowl, and, you know, he's been there twice, and so hopefully we'll be able to get it done for him.
How good is that quarterback?
He's the best thing ever.
I love you, brother.
Thank you.
He's the best thing ever.
You tell Tyrann Mathieu you loved him there at the
end? I do. I think people know Ty and I have a special relationship with the foundation. I'm on his board of directors for his Tyrann Mathieu Foundation and all the good work that he does here in Kansas City. So I get a lot of opportunities to see Tyrann away from the football field and off the field and do a lot of work with him in the community, and to see what he's done for our town in less than a year of being here has been more than eye-opening for me. I mean, he is so generous with his money. He is so generous with his time. He is so generous to the people of Kansas City. And for a guy to come into a town in whatever free agency is in March, and here we sit, you know, less than a year later, and he's taking care of families at Christmas. He's feeding people at Thanksgiving. He's raising money to build tech centers in underserved schools in Kansas City. Yeah, I love Tyrann Mathieu, and I think it's okay to admit that. I think what he does on the field has been impressive, but what he does off the field takes him to a new level and puts him in a different air than a lot of athletes. He's an amazing human being, and we are so fortunate to have a guy like that here in Kansas City who cares so much about a city that he's been a part of for less than a year, and now he's leading a defense and changing the mindset of a defense and taking this team to the Super Bowl. I really do believe, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, Josh, Tyrann Mathieu could be looked at as the MVP this year of this team, because without him, I don't know that they're playing in the Super Bowl, because I don't know that the defense takes on an attitude and plays football like they've been playing for the last 2 months of the season.
No, I think it might end like it ended last year.
Yeah.
With questions about the defense.
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Tennessee moved the ball early on, and then it got stopped.
Yeah, it got stopped. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Quick, right?
Yep.
They were putting up some points early. And
Tennessee's
thought,
first 15 plays looked a lot better than Andy's
yeah,
first 15
you
plays.
Thought, uh-oh. And then the defense shut it down, and the quarterback got going, and then they took off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a combination that they have put together that has led to this thing. And you're right. Without Tyrann Mathieu to probably glue that thing together, I think we're a year away on defense.
Yeah.
I thought they might have been a year away before the season started. Like, you're putting some pieces together, but you're doing a major overhaul. See if this thing can be done in one off season. Well, it was. And I think a big part of that was Tyrann Mathieu's influence.
Yeah, no doubt. And you have to have those players believe and buy in. I mean, you can have all the coordinator and coaching and scheme changes that you want, but if you don't get the players to buy in and to embrace it and to accept it and to really live, breathe, and eat it, you're not going to get the job done. I mean, you know, everybody's worked for a boss who lays out a game plan of this is what we're going to do, and you look at it and you go, okay, whatever, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes and they don't buy in. You have to have the buy-in by the players. If you don't have the buy-in by the players, then it's not going to work. And I think it took a little bit of time for these guys on defense to buy in. But once they saw Ty buying in, once they saw Frank Clark buying in, once they saw Chris Jones buying in, I think it had that snowball effect and just kind of rolled downhill from there. And everybody bought in. But you have to have those veteran leaders. And that's part of the reason why they went out and got a guy like Tyrann Mathieu and a guy like Frank Clark. Because not only are they really good football players, they're really, really, really good inside that locker room. They're really, really good at getting the players to understand what they have to do to have success. They got them for their leadership as much as they got them for their ability to go out there and make plays. And if you go out and get guys that are good football players but aren't good in the locker room, or you get guys that aren't going to buy in like that and are all about themselves, you're not going to win. And I really think Brett Veach and Andy Reid and that front office did a great job of pulling guys in that fit what they were looking for, that fit the mold, that fit the system, that fit Kansas City, and they made this football team something special because of the character of the players that are on that team. And without that leadership of Tyrann Mathieu, I don't think we're sitting here this morning wearing AFC Championship T-shirts.
Coming up in just a few minutes, speaking of Brett Veach, his conversation with Bob on the field as well, coming up in just a couple of minutes. I've heard the jingling of the doors here at Rally House. That means the doors are now open.
They're open, yes.
You can come here. You can get yourself a number. That'll allow you to get in line and be able to buy the AFC Championship gear. Rally House is going to be the place to really get your stuff all week long, all 2 weeks long, heading up to the big game. They're going to have up to 150 different styles of AFC Championship and Super Bowl merchandise as we head towards Miami.
Yeah, and they sold 10,000 T-shirts last night, so this
crazy
town is pretty excited. So the opportunity for you is to get here early, grab one of those numbers, and when the merchandise starts rolling through this morning, you'll have an opportunity to be one of the first in line to get it.
The locker room T-shirts that were worn yesterday, various styles of that. They're going to have all kinds of stuff. Again, up to 150 styles of championship gear and Super Bowl gear. This is the place to get it at Rally House. We're at 97th and Quivira. So come on by. The store is now open. And get yourself a number and get yourself some shopping on for your playoff swag.
And in about an hour and a half or so, the mayor will join us live here, Quentin Lucas. I was on the field with him after the game yesterday. Watching him celebrate was a lot of fun. He seems to be the good luck charm, man. He's the good luck charm for the Chiefs, so he'll be here at 8:35-ish or so, and he will join us live here at Rally House.
Pretty smart to frame himself as that.
I told him that after the game. I said, you're the good luck charm on this one, Mayor.
just keep.
Sly was the good luck charm for the Royals, and we got Quentin Lucas now the good luck charm for the Chiefs.
Why, yes, I am.
Yeah.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Your chance to win 7 o'clock hour prize. How about we give away the MVP golf card? Ryan makes it very, very simple for someone to win.
Oh, you know I like to keep it easy on the people. All you have to do, listen and dial listen for this.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 16 in honor of Len Dawson today.
Well, caller number 16 the next time you hear that drop. 913-576-7610, and I will hook you up with an MVP golf card.
You mentioned Len Dawson. cool. Bobby Bell was on the stage yesterday. We talked with Willie Lanier last week.
Sure.
On Friday, and he told us he was kind of the guy that was waiting to possibly hand the trophy over last year at the AFC Championship game. So it's cool to see some of the all-time greats getting involved. And as you mentioned, I mean, this everybody feels a part of it. Heck, even Willie Lanier told us last week, like, he wanted another parade because he didn't get to go to the parade when they won Super Bowl IV because they had to go to an All-Star game, whatever the Pro Bowl is called. And he called it the All-Star game. I just love the buy-in from the former players, too, that, I mean, there's not like jealousy that these guys did it and we're not. It's like we were Chiefs, too, and this is all about, you know, everybody being on board, which is really cool to see.
It is, and after the game last night, I was talking to somebody high up in the Chiefs organization, and I said, did you happen to hear our interview with Willie Lanier on Friday? And he's like, no, I hadn't heard it. I said, well, you need to go back and listen to it. I said, did you realize there were 11 members of that football team that won a championship that were not in the parade? And the look that I got was like, what do you mean? There were 11 guys that weren't in the parade? I said, yeah, they had to go to this All-Star game. And I said, I think 7 of them are still alive right now. And I said, they want to be in that parade. And this high-ranking Chiefs official looked at me and goes, they'll be in this one. So the guys who didn't get that opportunity to be in that parade because they were at the Pro Bowl at that point in time will get that opportunity to be in the parade should the Chiefs go down to Miami and take care of business. And I think that is so important to obviously, you know, celebrate the current, celebrate the present, but also to embrace that past because, you know, for 50 years, this team did not win the championship. And if you got guys that are around from that last championship team that did not get to participate in the festivities because they were at the All-Star game, we got to honor them now. And I think it's going to be vitally important to make sure that those 7 guys that are still around are part of that parade when the Chiefs celebrate here in a couple of weeks.
Fesco got a chance to catch up on the field with Chiefs general manager Brett Veach, his first AFC championship.
Time with you.
Huh? Oh, yeah, let's go. Right.
So what do you think, man? Give me your thoughts.
Oh, it's awesome. It's unbelievable. I mean, we still have one more game to go, and but, I mean, I just – from top down, from Clark to Mark to Andy, I mean, everybody just done a great job, and, I mean, you just can't say enough about these players and the effort, and, you know, we had some ups and downs this year, but, you know, we never gave up hope. And, you know, we knew we had a great roster. And, you know, we knew that if we got healthy enough that we were the team to beat. And I think it showed tonight.
You have been with Andy for a while now. How important is this to him to get him back here?
I mean, it's everything. I mean, he's given not just me but so many people an opportunity in this league. And, you know, back when I first started out, he believed in me. And it motivates me to bust my tail every day and kind of emulate his work ethic, and it would mean the world, and that's why we know we're not done yet. We got one more game to go.
Which move are you most proud of? Like, you look back and go, man, that's the one that put us over the top for this year.
I mean, all these guys, I mean, to single out one guy would be a disservice to everybody else because all these guys bust their tail. But, you know, me and my personnel staff, you know, we take great pride in what we do, and we watch a lot of tape, and some of these small signings people think aren't a big deal, but to us they are. And it is a battle of attrition, and, you know, you gotta have enough bodies out there to make it a full season. So I would say really everybody that you know, me and my staff put the time and effort to bring here, they all you know, pay their dues.
Take me through your day. What was it like for you personally all day?
Well, you know, I don't like getting in this trend where, you know, the Houston game we started off slow, and then this game we were down, I guess, 10-0. But we got a great roster. We got a great team. We got a great coaching staff, great ownership. So, yeah, we're really tough to beat. So it's just a matter of you know, getting the ball in Pat's hands and letting him do what he does.
But for you personally, how like, what's the day like for the GM watching all this go down?
Well, I mean, it's nerve-wracking. It's, you know, I felt that last quarter took about 3 hours. But, I mean, it's all worth it in the end. I mean, and to see Clark hold that trophy up with his father's name on, I mean, meant the world to me. But like I said, we're not done yet. We got one more game to go.
All right, Brad, thanks, man.
Yep.
You had to make some
got one more game to go, and that seems to be the mantra as well, getting it done in Miami for Andy, the next step in this particular run.
Wow.
2020 is rolling indeed, and my friends at Diamonds Direct have totally restocked for the new year. Need to check them out. 119th in a row. I've been telling you all about it. I don't know if they put together, you know, that big game ring for you, but it's going to look like it. All new shipments have arrived, including a fresh multi-$1 million supply of dazzling diamonds, all shapes, all sizes. They're going to sit down with you and take you through the entire diamond buying process, and simply put, they're going to get you the best diamond for your money. Talking about hand-picked, GIA-certified diamonds, round, princess cuts, emerald cuts, cushion cuts, ovals, from a carat to 10 and 20 carats, and they're going to work with you, work with your budget, and get you that best diamond for your money. Also, they're going to just have a whole bunch of diamonds in your price range so you can make that perfect choice. This is where the diamonds are, real, rare, precious stones, true no middleman prices other stores wish they could offer. No one else can give you the kind of guarantees as well that Diamonds Direct does. When you keep your diamond for a year, you could trade it in for a new, even larger one. They're going to give you 110% back towards that new diamond. Nobody else does this. Check them out for yourself. Diamonds Direct at 119th and Row.
I think it's important to hear from Brett Veach as the general manager, too, because when I got home last night, my wife said to me, who's that guy in the yellow tie that was on stage? Like, I go, that was the general manager. That was Brett Veach. And he kind of just flies under the radar, you know? He has become kind of a, I don't want to say mythical figure behind the scenes, but everybody knows it's Andy. But when you have guys behind the scenes that are doing their job and really taking it to a different level, like Brett Veach and that personnel department has done over the last couple of years, they deserve the credit as well. I mean, I know, look, Andy gets the blame, Andy gets the credit. He's the face of the organization. He is the guy that, you know, this organization has the buck stop with. But you have to have good people behind the scenes making good personnel decisions and good work and making those decisions to bring in Tyrann Mathieu, to bring in Frank Clark, to trade up to get Mecole Hardman, to go out there and really buy in and find Damian Williams and sign him before, you know, the opportunity really presents itself, to go out there and champion Pat Mahomes. I mean, say what you want about the general manager who preceded Brett Veach. Patrick Mahomes is here because Brett Veach got on top of that table and demanded that they go out there and trade up and get Patrick Mahomes. Like, he was the guy. He was the catalyst behind all of that. And I think it's important that he does get the credit that he deserves. It's just not an Andy Reid-led organization. There are so many people working behind the scenes to make this a Super Bowl team. And that's what they are right now. They are a Super Bowl team. And I think the general manager and the scouts and all the folks in that personnel department get a lot of credit for putting together the right roster.
And again, defensively especially, I thought maybe they were going to be a year away.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, trading for Charvarius Ward turned out to be a really good move by this team.
These kind of under-the-radar defensive backs that played the entire year,
yeah,
and looked great.
I mean, right? Daniel Sorensen comes in yesterday.
Daniel Sorensen's been spectacular.
Yep.
I mean, him running downhill again and just
that play that he made on Ryan Tannehill, where if he doesn't hit Tannehill, maybe Tannehill's still running and the Titans have an opportunity to win this championship game. I mean, Mike Pinnell going out and getting that guy. Like, that guy was a force this year along the defensive line. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting here saying
he was a streak free agent, right?
Yeah. Like, where would they be without Mike Pinnell right now?
And those types, you're like, well, if they aren't on the team,
right?
Well, that guy works out.
Right.
And has a big time impact on not just a game but the tail end of the season, and you know, so many guys that are involved in this defense. I mean, they can all take ownership of that one.
And going out and getting Matt Moore. I mean, we forget Patrick Mahomes missed two games during this season, and Matt Moore was the guy who came in and played quarterback and looked really good playing quarterback. Like, they went out and got guys that they counted on this year and relied on this year that, you know, the personnel department makes those decisions. Andy's not sitting in on every move that's being made. You're presenting Andy with three or four guys, but that's where the personnel department has to come to play and understand what he's looking for and understanding what players would be the best fit here in Kansas City with the Chiefs and with this organization. And I just don't think enough credit can be given to those guys. I mean, where would this team have been without Matt Moore? What if they had, you know, you or me or somebody like that as the backup quarterback because you got Pat Mahomes and you just didn't even worry about that position?
Or an inexperienced rookie or whatever.
Yeah, what if you had to play like Dan Orlovsky or something like that at your backup quarterback spot? And that dude's running out of the back of the end zone. Like, you went out there and acquired the right guys to fit the system, to fit that locker room, to be playmakers, and to be part of this organization. And every move that they made has worked out for this organization.
Rex and Overbrook, your winner. He gets the MVP golf card just for listening. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize. 913-576-7610. How you feeling today, Kansas City? Sun's starting to come up.
Yep.
We can see it in the background here as we're at Rally House 97th and Quivira. How you feeling today? Let's hear from you as well. And, again, more on winning this thing for Andy. I think there are a lot of reasons to go and win a Super Bowl. I'm starting to kind of sway his way. Like, hey, I've been a fan longer than Andy.
Right.
But I want Andy to win one.
Sure.
We'll discuss next.
And all we do is continue to prove to him
who the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The Kansas City Chiefs have won the AFC Championship, are going to Super Bowl 54. Big Time Bats has just released the...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.